Today's Bible reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
May your truth reveal itself to us. May we understand more about this name, way, truth, life, Lord God, that we may understand more of your character and nature. Illuminate our hearts, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I'm talking to you about Jesus' name, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus reveals this aspect of his nature at the Last Supper. You know, he knew that he was going to go to the cross, he was going to die. And yet he washed his disciples' feet at the beginning of this chapter. He's trying to reassure them because he just told Peter that you're going to deny me three times, right? And he's trying to reassure them, don't worry, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's going to be all right in the end, sort of thing. And Thomas just like is like, really? You can imagine the expression on his face. Really? We don't know where you're going. We don't even know. How can we know the way? And there was a complete lack of understanding, a complete bemusement, fuzzled. You know, what's going on here? And I think the first step, if we're to understand this revelation of Jesus, is to acknowledge where we are. Just like Thomas, have you ever been off the beaten track? Have you ever been lost, bemused in your Christian walk with God, thinking, which way do I go? And sometimes, am I even a Christian? Those thoughts come to us. Sometimes we haven't got a clue where we are. I remember not long after Freedom Day, going over to meet with my granddaughter, Sade, and we were going for a nice long walk. I'd looked at the map beforehand. They were living in a new area, found the park, memorized where it was. We went to the park, found it. That was great. On the way back, I thought, ooh, didn't I see a little wooded area? That if we get in there, we cut through there, we'll be back at her place in no time. Oh me, oh my. Well, you know how it ends. I entered this word. Come on, Sade. She's only 10, and she was happily skipping along with her grandma. And after about 15 minutes, I thought, not quite sure about this. I thought, I'm sure the house is over that way, and the path bent off that way. So I thought, we'll just cut through these trees, go up this steep embankment. And there were, like, wires and gauze. You couldn't get over there. So I'm thinking, okay, well, there must be a way through here somewhere. So we go up this steep hill. I'm like, oh, come on then. Let's just work our way across to the fence. And as I look back, it was a sheep. There was no more steep incline. It was just a cliff. And I'm thinking, okay. And Sade's like, let's play make-believe. You be such and such a character, and I'll be such and such a character. And come on. And I said, yes, you be the leader. And I was really trembling because I thought, I don't know where I brought my car. We could die in these woods, you know. And anyway, needless to say, we finally found a gap where there was no wire fence. There was just bush. And I made my way through this bush, and it was into somebody's backyard. I made my way out, and then I asked some bemused person who was washing his car to seeing these two black ladies emerge from the bush, like, what's happening? And anyway, we finally got her back home, and she reminds me to this day, remember that time we got lost, Grandma? But it's about acknowledging. In the end, I did acknowledge to her that I was lost. I said, Sade, I have no idea where we are. But she didn't panic, bless God. And this is Thomas here. He is just bemused. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know where Jesus is going. And Jesus gives him a clue, the same clue that he gives us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that actually mean? He was saying, Thomas, focus on me. You need to focus more intentionally on Jesus. How do we do that? How do we become more focused on Jesus when we can't see him? Well, we can. This book, which really has cost people their lives, to get it to us in a language that we can understand. In this book, you will find Jesus. John chapter 1, can somebody find there? Who's going to be there quickest? In John chapter 1, we see why we think that this word is the way, the truth, and the light. Do you want to read it? Stand up if you got it. Okay, what does it
say? It says, in the beginning, the word already existed. He was with God, and he was God. He was in the beginning with God.
Amen. So we see from that chapter, that verse, that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It goes on to say later on in that chapter that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is Jesus. So when we look at this Bible, this is no ordinary book. This is a picture of Jesus. This is where we see the truth, the life, and the way in the Bible, in the Word of God. Why is it just a number of words? Or is there something special about this book? Jesus said in John 6:63, come on, work with me. John 6:63. Okay, have you got it? Yeah, okay. Stand up if you got it. This is to keep us active. John 6:63.
Oh no, sorry. I thought I had it. I didn't have it. Apologies. Okay, I'm close. I've not got my glasses on. It was the Spirit who gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, and the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life.
Okay, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. And he also said in the beginning of that verse that it is the spirit that quickens the word. So actually, to the unbeliever, these just look like a bit of ink on paper. But Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are no ordinary words. And the Holy Spirit quickens those words. Okay, Hebrews 4:12. Okay, while we're here, because you're not as quick as I thought you would be. Some Hebrews 4:12, Isaiah 55:10-11. Isaiah 55:10-11, and Isaiah 48. Okay, who's got Hebrews 4:12? Yeah, good.
For the word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are.
Okay, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it says the word of God is spirit and it is life. Who's got Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11? There we go.
The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, produce seed in the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and I will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and you will prosper with everything I send it.
God is saying that just like the rain, his word will accomplish whatever he sends it to. So this word, God has given it to us. He sent us his word so that it can accomplish what he sends it to. So when the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, by the wounds of Jesus in Isaiah 53, I am healed, I take that word and I pray that word back to God. God, you said. Because if he said it, it will surely be. When God said, let there be light, one version says, light bead. Let there be light. Light had to come. So when God says, be healed, I am healed. And it may take a while to manifest itself, but trusting in him. Isaiah 48.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
The word of our God stands forever. So even though the grass will pass away, God's word remains forever. Why are we talking about God's word today? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that the word of God became flesh. And so that's, if we want to look at Jesus, we have to look at his word. First thing we need to do is acknowledge where we are. If we're directionless, if we're bemused like Thomas. The second thing is focus on Jesus. We focus on Jesus by hearing his word. Can I have a slide, please? Because there are five ways in which we can focus on Jesus. First little pinky there. Everybody wiggle in that. Okay, is it frozen? No, it's not frozen. You know, your little pinky. One of the ways of focusing on Jesus is to hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. Who's got that?
Faith comes from listening to this message of good news, the good news about Christ.
Okay, faith comes by listening, hearing the word of God. So we know that the word of God is Jesus. Jesus can be found in the word of God. And how do we build our faith in him? How do we focus on that way? The first way is to hear. But you know, you can't hold a sword with your little pinky. You need a whole hand to hold the sword, which is the word of God. So we've got hear the word of God. And it's great that you guys are here, no matter how cold it is. You're listening in, whether you're driving or wherever you are, you're listening to the word of God. And that's great. Faith is going to come. You'll be encouraged by hearing that word. But that, you don't stop there. If we are going to follow in the way, we have to do more than just hear the word of God. But hearing is great. The second thing is we have to read the word of God. Who's got Revelations 1:3?
God blesses the one who reads this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to it and obey what it says. For the time is near when these things will happen.
Okay, so God blesses those that read out of this book of the law. Okay, so it's important that we read. Do you have a Bible reading plan? If we are going to follow in the way, Psalm 119, the psalmist says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay. And so it's important that we really have a reading plan, a daily reading plan. How many people have got the Bible on their phones? Okay, great. How many people know that you can get the you can get it to speak, audible Bible? Anybody know Poirot? Anybody know Poirot? Yeah. Poirot is, what's his name, David Suchet? David Suchet, yeah. He does an amazing version. When he became a Christian, one of the things he wanted to do was to read the Bible on tape. So in between filming Poirot, he would go down to the studios and he would tape. And it's amazing. And he can read the Bible to you. You can download it. It will cost, I think, £9. Download it onto your phone and then just play it. You need to read it. You need to hear it. But I have daily plans that I follow. I'm doing the Bible through in 1 year. YouVersion, very, very good. Spoken Word, all sorts of different Bible apps that you can have. But also that Word for Today is really good. And at the back of it, if you haven't got it, you can send away and they will send it to you. It's free of charge. And there's a little reading, that you read those scriptures and then they give you a daily thing that you do there. Then, so that's two fingers. Everybody, can you put up the two fingers? Okay. So now the third finger is study. Acts 17:11.
The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth.
They studied the scriptures. They searched the scriptures. It's important that we are searching the scriptures. And I've got a few things here. It's important that you find something that's relevant to you and that you study up about it, you read things about it. So this little booklet here that I gave to Sylvia when I met her, when I was ill, this became something that I was really looking at and studying. There's all kinds of different issues that people have studied out. And in this day and age, it's really easy to Google a topic, put it into Google and put Bible and then, or what does the Bible say about? And then it will bring up all sorts of different things. So where are we up to? We've got three fingers up. Okay, fourth finger is memorize. Now, that is something that people might struggle with. We're looking at Psalm 9 and 11. Actually, I think I already read that out. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's important as well that we are memorizing the word of God, because that way, when the enemy comes against us, and he will come. Do you remember Eve? What did the devil say to Eve? Has God really said? He was testing her. Did she know what God had said? And she didn't. And she said, oh, we can't touch it. We can't eat it. She wasn't sure exactly what God had said. But when the devil came to Jesus and said, oh, God said that he will give his angels charge over you. And yes, that's what God had said. But Jesus said to him, it is written again. He knew that the devil was misquoting scripture. And then he knew, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you need to know what the word of God says. And that way, when things come which is contrary to that, you can quote the word. And sometimes it's not comfortable. So, you know, I know that Jesus says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And when I'm tempted, or like when something happens at work and somebody really is not nice to me, the temptation would be to just keep unforgiveness in my heart. Well, you know, because after all, I'm right. And I go over it in my head. I'm thinking, you know, this is just unjust. But the word of God ministers to me because I've memorized it. I've put it in my heart and it comes up to me. And I can't, you know, I can't keep that unforgiveness in my heart because actually it interferes with my relationship with God. So I let it go. And that is why we need to keep the word of God in our heart. And the final thing about focusing on the word is meditating in it. On Psalm 1, 2, and 3, and this is my last scripture. Who's got that one? Go for it.
But they delight in doing everything the Lord wants. Day and night they think about his law. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season without fail. Their leaves never wither, and in all they do they prosper.
Okay. So as we think, as we meditate on his word, then we shall have good success. In Joshua 1:8, don't bother to find that one, God is saying to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Then you shall have success. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Sometimes I think we want the prosperity, we want the job, we want the promotion without meditating on the word of God. And so it's a two-way thing. As we, the Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. As you give up your time to study this word, to focus this on him, then you will make your way successful. So acknowledge where you are, focus on Jesus and his word, and finally, live the word of God. Because as you are, and I just warn you, this is the health warning, as you intentionally focus more on the word of God, it will make demands on you. And as you obey the word of God, you will find your life transformed. When it says give, when you give, you will find that generosity in that, and you will find that God gives back to you. When it says forgive and you forgive, you will find yourself actually released and transformed. When you are going counter to the culture that is around you, you will find that the word of God is transforming you as you do it. The Chinese have a saying, I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I do and it becomes a part of me. So being obedient to the word of God is what really makes it come alive in us. Observe and do all that is written. So that's it. Let's do our fingers. Number one is? Number two? Three? Four? Five? Okay. You've got to be intentional about it. So I don't know where you are with your Bible reading. You might be thinking you're doing very well. You might be thinking, well, I come to church on Sunday, I'm here, aren't I? But that's just doing the pinky. So you need to do some more. Let's be intentional about it. What are you going to do? Are you going to download an app? Are you going to pick up a study guide? In this day and age, there's no reason why we are not more involved in studying the Word of God. I remember hearing about a prisoner in the Middle East. He really wanted to hear the Word of God, and he got assigned to the prison officer's toilet cleaning duty. And he had to clean out the mess. And what they were using to wipe their behinds, to be polite, was a Bible that they had found. They were tearing off the leaves and they were wiping their behind. This man was so hungry for the Word of God. He would get their soiled bits of paper, rinse it off in the river, dry it, and then that was how he read the Word of God. Now, people, we don't have to go to such extremes to hear the Word of God. But, you know, and he read about Romans 10:17, and he was quoting it. And through that, he was able to really trust God to get released from prison. Do you know what I mean? Because he heard the Word, he did it, he forgave his prisoners. There was so much testimony that that man gave from reading the Word of God. Now, people, you haven't got to clean any latrines in order to be more intentional. If you say you want to follow Jesus, then we have to be intentional. Okay, be intentional about it. So hopefully when I come back next time, everybody has moved up a level. We can all move up a level. Even in my preparing for this message, I've moved up a level in my intention about the Word of God. Bless God. I'm just going to pray. And I just want to, first of all, before I do, I want to give people an opportunity to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And to do that, you must first acknowledge that you actually don't know him. You don't know him as you would like to know him. And you want to know him. You want him to be your Lord and Savior. That's the first step in focusing on Jesus, is to surrender your life to him. And so we're going to pray a prayer. And everybody, I want you to pray it with me. And because we've got to think of those people listening as well online, that perhaps you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to come into the fold. You want to, maybe like Thomas, you're like saying, I don't even know the way. Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He gave his life so that you could have eternal life. And we only have, if we're lucky, 70, 80 years on this life. But after that, where will you spend eternity? If you want to spend eternity with Jesus, then pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now. And I acknowledge that I've done my own thing. I want to invite you to be my Lord, to be the way, to be the truth, to be the life for me. I want to be your child. Forgive me all my sins. Come into my heart and reign with me today. Amen. Amen. And following on from that, if you've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, just want to give you an opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit into your lives as well, because it's the Spirit that quickens us. So pray another prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for giving your life for me. I ask you for the Holy Spirit to come with his power and to live in my body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.